This is Spins Fully Charged Recharged.
Welcome to Spins Fully Charged
Recharged
with Emma, Dave and Ashley.
Let's go.
Hello there, what's going on?
Hi guys, I'm doing something that I've never done before this evening. I am doing a storytelling night.
And your
brilliant.
Story, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
The musical society that I'm in are running it, so I said I would speak.
Where is it? What's happening?
My friend's organising it. It's in Shinnay, which is a pub on the Keys.
There's the place that does like the spoken word and shit, isn't it?
Yeah, but this isn't ran by them now. It's just by the musical society. But I've never done like a storytelling thing before, and I'm like, oh, scary.
But it's just like... Sorry, this is radio talk now, but it's just like doing a link.
That's what
radio.
I was thinking, yeah. The only thing is, like, I think a lot of people, like, write stuff and, like, people might write a story that they've written, like fiction, or they might write a poem or whatever. So I feel like I can't just get up and just speak, kind of.
Well,
I need
if you have notes. If you know a story inside out, upside down, my friend Paula, loved the Shani has in, like basically a storytelling night as well, but in Australia, like your man who runs that's apparently so passionate about it. And she does loads with them. And she was telling me one of the stories she told one time about, let's just say being quite sick while on holidays with her boyfriend. And she had kind of got it ready in her head, but I don't think she brought notes.
So she didn't read. Because I was like, do I read it off a page, like, or do I just tell it, bring notes? I don't know. So,
are you telling a real story or writing something?
No, I'm not. It's a real story, yeah. I'm just telling the story about Mr. Plops, if you've ever heard it on the show. It's just the story of Plops.
And, oh, yeah. That's a really good story.
Yeah, the theme is secrets, which is kind of tricky. So I need to it's very much leave insert exam. What's the theme? How can I twist it into the theme?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of secrets.
Kind of like,
well, it's
I'm
kind of a secret that you've more or less adopted this cat from its owner and the cat's living a double life. So if anyone actually has a secret, it's
Plops. Your secret is...
her secret life.
The plan. If you just move.
Yeah, the other secret is that we're going to try and take the cat when we move. But we will ask.
We will obviously bleep that, Ashley. Are you going to put that in the podcast?
No, we're going to ask the place, can we have the cat back?
Are you thinking of moving?
Not for years.
Okay.
We're just planning the long game.
Planning the future.
As in we'll ask the owners. The cat's just owned by a restaurant, so I don't know if they care about it that much. So I'm like, we'll ask the owners, but maybe I'll say in the story that we're
going to straight away you are totally fitting the theme by Plops' secret life.
Yeah, and the other secret is that my landlord doesn't know that we have her in basically 12 hours a day either.
And the other secret is it's not called Plops.
The other secret is we don't call it Plops.
God, there's so much. If you
find out more, you need to go to Shinnae tonight.
Tonight.
Hello.
Go ahead now. In 3, 2, 1.
This is Spins Fully Charged.
With Emma, Dave and Ashling.
Hi there. What's the crack?
Hello, good welcome morning. Back, Emma Nolan.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Weather on Whitty, wonderful.
The weather on Whitty was bloody great.
It looked nice.
On Saturday.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not on Sunday. But listen, I'll tell you all about Whiddy Island off the coast of West Cork a little bit later on. I know I'm so late to the party and it's not Monday. It is Tuesday to even be bringing this up. But can we just quickly talk about the match on Sunday?
Oh, it was
quickly. Oh, yeah. We did it actually exactly at this time yesterday.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, but you were in Cork,
right?
Essentially.
So screaming for Cork. And just for context, 31 people live on this island.
Yeah.
Okay? 31?
31 people. The pub, for you listening, this studio is a grand size and I reckon where we're sitting right now is bigger than the pub.
Wow.
It was shockers, obviously, but with 40 people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That was it. And there was a guy on the island, his name is Tim. I was telling you about Tim last week, the week before, that he runs
the pub and the post office.
And his wife. Yeah, runs the post and the post office, like you said, sorry. Runs the ferry, runs the pub.
Yeah.
The man owns the accommodation that we rented. And obviously, you just get a bit of a growl for someone across the weekend. He was so passionate at one point. I was looking over at him during the game when it was coming down to the end. And when you're like, just for Tim, lads, please do it
for Tim.
Just for Tim. Do you know when someone's just looking so stressed?
Were they devastated?
And the screaming
then?
And the shouting. It was honestly one of the most exciting 2 hours, I would say, of the last few years of my life.
Yeah.
I was just, I couldn't look. I didn't know what to do. I was pulling my jacket over my face. I put on my sunglasses at one point, so that was going to make a difference. I screamed at people that I know nothing about. It was just amazing.
It was a great
match. Didn't make a difference, did it?
Didn't,
nah. Were they devastated then?
They were, yeah. I didn't see Tim for the rest of that day. I think he took himself off back
it was
to the mainland.
Cruel,
did everyone leave the pub then straight after?
Oh,
gone.
We were the only ones keeping that place going that evening. Everyone was right, that's it, gotta go. But it was just brilliant.
It was brilliant, yeah.
It was an unbelievable match. I loved every single second of it. It was the best match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Of anything?
a mess hurling match. Relax.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
You're with Emma, David, Aisling on Spin this morning. Hope you're good.
What's happening?
Morning.
Lily Allen doesn't know how to use a washing machine.
Well, that's
straight in, no kissing. All right,
great
tell
headline.
Me more.
Yeah. A great headline.
She doesn't know how to use a washing machine. She's absolutely terrified of them.
Right.
She remembers the days in the 90s when someone would be very angry when they put in a white t-shirt or someone else would wash it for them and it would come out pink, and she's just not having it.
I get so angry when people like make a nice white t-shirt pink, and I never want to be on the receiving end of that kind of anger.
She does a podcast with her friend Makita Oliver. They've been friends forever. And they release, I'm just looking today, they release an episode every third day and it's 40 minutes long.
My God.
Wow. What do you have to be talking about? Although yeah,
we do a radio show every day.
I know.
For 3 hours.
I was just thinking of that. It's so weird in the podcast world, but we literally do it here every day. But anyway, the reason being, as I said, she's terrified. She also has a particular phobia of the top drawer. And this I understand.
The top drawer.
Exactly. Do you even know what the top drawer is
in the washing machine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
A bit of a mysterious yeah. place.
Who knows what does be going on in there and what should be going there? Just grab your little tablet and throw it in.
Yeah.
That's all I'm
yeah,
saying.
I'm team that now. Alex has been putting softener and stuff in
I
that,
do put the softener in.
I don't know what hole to put it in.
I do put the softener in, but I turned out to be putting the softener in the wrong department for about a year and a half.
Yeah. Department.
You needed the correct department. I was putting it in the overflow department.
Okay. Yeah.
Compartment. That one.
Sorry.
I meant compartment.
Or hole.
Or hole. Yeah.
Yeah. And question then: how did you realise there's actually an overflow department? Isn't
there's
there?
An overflow compartment. There's an overflow compartment, and I realised it by one day when I opened the drawer and it had overflown.
I understand.
The overflow compartment. When overflow compartment is overflowing, you know, you realize. So there was about a year and a half worth of
stuff in the overflow compartment.
Yeah, okay. It's not good.
It's nice, interesting smelling clothes, though, with all those different smells.
Well,
going
not
on.
For me, because it was in the overflow compartment.
So it didn't even go in. Yeah. Awesome.
I basically, as soon as I did a wash, I also poured fabric softener into a bucket beside the washing machine. That's basically what I did.
That fills up with the wash.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes when I think I've messed up with the top drawer department, I throw a cheek. Second tablet in to be like, I want you to really give him a go clean for me.
Oh, I've never done a second tab.
I've never gone two tabs.
I've never two tabs.
I'd always do a double tab on the bed sheet.
You are terrifying.
Make them. And Lily Allen is terrified of washing machines.
I don't use the top drawer. I just put in like one square thing, you know, like the
like a dishwasher tablet.
Yeah, like that. I'm also scared of the top drawers.
Was she putting a dishwasher tablet in the washing machine?
I think she's just trying to explain they look like that. But honestly, if this is where we're at, where the gals are putting in, you know what? You never know.
I wonder what would happen if you put a dishwasher tablet in the washing machine.
No idea.
We test it in Emma's washing machine.
Just in mine, yeah?
Yeah.
Camira was listening to the Talking Bee podcast yesterday and the one from Cork and the latest episode with Ryan Hennessy. Such an interesting story. He did not know he could sing till he was 18, right?
Okay.
Right. It was really interesting. He was in school. Sorry, I was about to play the new pitch of this song.
I thought we were still talking about washing machines.
No, same. I was like,
where is she going with this?
As well?
Let's move away from the washing machines and focus on new pitch of this music. Basically, Ryan was saying that in school, he was having hassle, like in his leaving cert year, they were like, you need to drop what you're doing because it's not working out if you pick up a new subject. So he kind of was like, there were so many girls in music. I was like, sure, I'll stroll into music.
Nice, Ryan.
And they were like, you need to pick up an instrument or something. He was like, right, what am I going to do here pronto to turn it around in time for this exam I have to do? And he said, I walked downstairs to my dad and I was so nervous. He like walked around the house building up the courage. I was like, Dad, can I sing for you? Close your eyes, don't look at me. And he opened his eyes after he sang something. It was some old Dubliner song and his dad was like crying.
No way.
And he was like, oh, sugar. And then he did it again and again and again and people kept getting the same reaction. He was like, oh, crap, I can sing.
Class.
And then he wrote, take my hands.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Test out your new skills. Here's a new picture of this. It's called Satellites on Spin.
Let your tears rewind right back to
you. You get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Spin morning.
Morning.
And my brother and his girlfriend are in Paris at the moment.
Oh,
they just went for a night, yeah. And they said it's a bit of a mare. right now.
I'd say
because
so.
The Olympics are kicking off on Friday,
yeah.
And they said you can't get around anywhere. Ugh. Everywhere is fenced off, and there's no like signage or no kind of place where you can see what's open and what's closed. So they keep trying to go places, and then they just get down the street, and there's just a fence.
No.
Yeah. So they're
that
like.
That doesn't sound very French.
No. So they're having to get like metros everywhere just
that
to get underground.
Very French to me. That sounds exactly like what would happen in Paris.
Sorry.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
But I mean, the whole like it's just so romantic and beautiful to stroll around, and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
so
like they
annoying.
Couldn't get near the Louvre, couldn't get near the Eiffel Tower, all completely fenced off. And they did see the Uzbekistan Olympic team drive under the Arc de Triomphe. I was like, you hit the big time there, bro.
Uzbekistan. I didn't even think they still existed.
I know. But yeah, it seems like absolute chaos there at the moment. But obviously, Olympics kicking off on Friday. Very excited. The opening ceremony sounds unbelievable. Have you heard about this?
I completely forgot about the opening ceremony.
The opening ceremony sounds crazy.
I'm not doing a thing this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on this Friday, the opening ceremony, obviously. And for the first time ever, it's not going to be held in an Olympic arena. It's actually going to be held along the Seine.
Oh.
There's going to be a 4-mile parade of 85 boats, one for each
wow.
Olympic delegation.
No way.
Travelling up the Seine.
That's
how cool is that?
That is sick.
3,500 performers, musicians, dancers, all the rest. And one very, very big act rumoured to be performing.
Go on.
Lady Gaga.
Oh, very cool.
Now,
that would be cool.
You might be wondering what connection has she got to Paris and Paris Olympics. But
well, she's from a country.
She's from a country.
That are competing.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
That works.
Well, apparently she has been spotted in Paris this week. So it's not confirmed or anything, but people are speculating.
Okay.
And in A Star is Born, the film she was in with Bradley Cooper, she sang La Vie en Rose, you know that old French song, Edith Piaf. So, and she's performed that like at her Vegas residency and stuff. So people have said that she's been practicing that song lately.
That's
and
right.
She could be performing that.
Oh, but sure, she has it down already in terms of the French accent.
Exactly.
Is it in French? It is.
Yeah, 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 the song.
Oh, well then,
yeah.
Listen, easy,
and
easy.
She's great at the old accents, didn't she do this Italian accent in that?
I thought
Gucci
she was
movie.
Kind of
she,
Italian a little
she
bit,
is
though.
Kind of
it's
Italian.
Not Russian she was trying to do. Anyway, she
House
was.
House of Gucci? I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, I think it was Russian.
Oh, was it?
I can't remember.
Anyway,
maybe
yeah,
she's
a bit Italian.
Maybe she does accents like Emma does accents.
She's trying to do Italian, but just came off.
It was Russian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's the rumour on the opening ceremony. But another really exciting thing comes on the 9th and 10th of August for the first time ever. Olympic breakdancing.
Excuse me?
What?
A new Olympic sport this year.
Oh my God, I can't
wait. I hadn't
heard
about this until today.
Because I remember the last Olympics, the new sport was skateboarding and that was sick.
Oh, cool.
And this year it's breakdancing.
Yes.
This is going to be the best Olympics ever.
This is
even
way
if it is
than
in France.
Skateboarding. No
sorry,
offense.
Not trying to take away from the breakdancing, but is that just like loads of people in skate parks on the telly?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a skate park and you have judges and things there.
With
it's
Tony
so
Hawk
cool.
Vibes.
Yeah, it's
very
so cool.
Cool. Okay.
So this is officially called Olympic breaking and it comprises of four different kinds of movements. You've got a top rock, a down rock, power moves and the freezes.
Yeah.
I can do a freeze. I can do a real good
how
freeze.
How did they get that over the line? That's a dance, not a sport.
I know, but I suppose it requires a certain level
it
of
does,
athleticism and
yeah,
fitness, so it's fair enough. The interesting thing about this is it's not like troops. It's all solo performers.
Oh,
so
that's
got
hard.
Your B-boys and your B-girls. It's
okay.
Not like ladies and men's
right.
Or whatever. It's or women's and men's.
Yeah.
It's B-boys and B-girls. They're the two categories. And it's completely improvised. So you can't come with a prepared routine.
No. So
no.
They're going to do that thing where they just play you a song and you have to dance to it.
There's a DJ, like an official Olympic DJ who will
who
improv
gets that
tracks.
Oh, come on, Marty Guilfoyle.
Is it Marty Guilfoyle?
Where is
yeah.
He?
And the dancers have to come and they have to like dance to the beat that
that's
they're
incredible.
Hearing.
Incredible.
Completely improvised.
That's so cool. imagine you did a completely rehearsed one to a song that made no sense.
Yeah.
Like you're like, well, I know this is what I could do.
It gives me the vibe of you've learnt off any kind of an Irish essay for your leaving
yeah.
Curtain.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Wangling in under the theme comes up. Well, there were Scammels of Spare
yeah,
that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
Happened too.
100%.
They're like freezing at the like biggest bills.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So Olympic breaking, it's going to be on the 9th and 10th of August. Sell
just
in your
the
diaries.
9th and 10th, I wonder.
Yeah, that's when those two competitions
okay.
are.
That's unreal.
The B boys and the B girls. Can't wait.
Sounds like it should be a theme for a birthday party.
I can't wait.
Yes. Bring that kind of into it, you know. Here's Benson Boone. This is called Beautiful Things. You're listening to Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Beautiful things that I've got.
Benson Boone on Spin. Morning.
He's playing the Olympia.
Is that where he's playing?
Yeah.
He's going to have to put some stairs on that stage because have you seen him do the flips off the stairs? They are so cool.
He'll have to roll in the rig. I kind of thought he'd be getting up to Three Arena status at this stage.
Do you think a few more flips now.
A few more flips.
Yeah, and then he'll get so. That.
Like he's got two songs on the radio.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
You know?
I think when I hear them on Spin, I'm like, Asher, they're huge.
Yeah. Well, on that note, yes, he should be playing the
Yeah, he's dead right.
Yes.
Spins fully charged, recharged.
It's Dash's Austin on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. Morning.
You've heard of wrestling, right?
I have heard of wrestling.
Through the grapevine, yes.
Have you heard of gravy?
I've heard of gravy.
Gravy as in the sauce, yes.
Someone combined them.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, brilliant.
The World Gravy Wrestling Championships.
Whoa, tell me
We're
more.
We're here what for it, this? Right? It takes place every year. It's set to be held on August 26th at the Rosen Bowl Pub in Lancashire, right?
It's in a pub?
Yeah, it's in a pub.
Brilliant. Okay, brilliant. Yeah.
It's basically, right, it's kind of like, it's a charity event.
Okay.
Right, okay. It's raising cash for the East Lancashire Hospice with participants wrestling in fancy dress in a pool filled with gravy.
Stop.
Swear.
That is kind
it's,
of amazing.
It's not water like brown water. It's gravy.
Oh, how smelly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh,
yes. Imagine getting under your toenails and all.
So, one of the bosses has put a plea out for Bisto-loving Hulk Hogan beefcake types to roll around in some meat juice. Because, bad news, for some reason, not a lot of people have signed up this year.
Oh, damn.
I know. There's 2 minute bouts, right? 2 minutes like rounds. And this competition has attracted genuinely quite a lot of viewers throughout the years, but not an awful lot of contestants. They've even had to put up a deposit on people signing up because people say they'll do it and they just don't show up.
Okay.
They had to like sign up now with a deposit of like £10 or whatever.
Imagine the smell of it in your hair. I know, yeah.
But if you know someone around Lancashire around that time, tell them to sign up for this because judges are awarding points for the quality of fancy dress and comedic effect, Aisling.
Oh, that's a bit neat.
There you go. Also, a referee is going to be on hand to ensure a fair fight with hundreds of litres of gravy poured into the pool throughout the day.
I love random charity events and one Kate was repeated to me that I don't remember from when I was a kid. We used to go to West Cork a lot on holidays in the summer and my brother was like, do you remember at the time Dad got really hurt from that thing he was helping out with for the charity event in West Cork? And I was like, no. And he was like, do you remember they used to get the hospital trolleys and push people around the village?
Love.
And my dad was pushing someone one time for the event and fell and gashed his knee quite badly.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, what? It was like they'd run around this like hilly village pushing people on hospital trolleys to make money for charity.
That's so funny.
When I was a kid,
we went on a summer holiday to Wexford and they had like a kind of like a festival going on. I don't know if it was like for charity or whatever, but it was a festival and it was like you got up on hay bales and you had to knock people off their hay bale with another hay bale.
I had
the best time ever.
That's so funny.
I think I paid like 10 quid and it was only a euro a go.
And you don't go home smelling like beef.
No, you don't.
Brilliant.
So this is it. Competitors are going to battle it out in this gravy wrestling championship. 4 matches for men, 3 for women to make it to the final. Visitors will take home the WGWC trophy and €50 cash prize, which they can give to charity if they want. The World Gravy Wrestling Championship WGWC. Trophy. WGWC. and get their names engraved on the gong, which they get to keep for a year. Showers are provided or firefighters are there to hose you off after the match.
That is fun.
Yeah. Contestants in the past have been Raven Gravy, the Bake Up Bavarian and Disco Dave. However, I think they're terrible names.
Disco Dave, that makes no sense.
No sense
That's
at
not
all.
Even relevant
I
to
think we could do better, right? So I'm thinking we come up with gravy based wrestler names.
Yes, please.
With a special move name and what that special move does.
Oh, wow.
A description of what the move does.
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking like Lancashire there and those.
Yeah. So like you have like the gravy general, right? And then you could have his move being the gravy grenade and he just throws grenade of gravy.
Nice. Yeah, okay.
That kind
I like
of a vibe.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So come up with like a couple and we'll come back in a second.
Okay.
Perfect. In the meantime, Tommy Richmond, this is Million Dollar Baby on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
You'll get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Aisling.
Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
I brought you the greatest story I think I've ever brought to this show. The World Gravy Wrestling Championships. It's happening in the UK. It's all for charity and I absolutely love this. Some of the names in the past have been stuff like Raven Gravy, The Bake Up Bavarian and Disco Dave. Terrible names.
Not great.
So people have been coming up with their own names on this show, which I really, really like. So Gary has said The Gravy Train as a wrestler's name.
That's a good
perfect
name.
Perfect.
A special move, The Slippery Slap. Love.
Oh,
big
nice.
Fan. Yeah. Maria was also on. She voice noted us with some special moves.
Onion uppercut. Savory side jab.
Yes, girl.
Random.
Savory side jab.
Onion uppercut and savory side jab. I think is my favourite thing. Larry has created a wrestler.
Has to be the Bisto Beast.
The Bisto Beast.
Bisto Beast.
I'm a big fan of that one.
I want to do mine now. Yours are too good.
So I have come up with, right, the Yorkshire pudding.
Very right? good.
His special move is the sunken gravy boat. And the way he does that is the wrestler dunks you under the gravy.
Perfect. Oh yeah,
what have you got?
I love that.
I'm saying, God, these are fat. I'm saying Drippin' Dave.
Drippin' Dave.
Drippin' Dave is my name. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. And one of his moves are the saucy slam.
Very good.
That's good.
Yeah.
And what's that involved in?
You dip your hand into the gravy that you're in and then you kind of get it real saucy and then you give him a slam.
Ah, very
nice.
Good.
I like
that's
it.
The idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
What have you got?
I have one wrestler with several moves. So my wrestler is that Bisto bitch.
Okay, love it.
And she's got a catchphrase. She's going to send you to the gravy.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wow.
Some of the moves are the mashed potato.
Yeah, I have one of them moves as well.
Yeah, just keep kind of elbowing them in the face. I have the brown vortex where we create, we stir the gravy with a small spoon.
Yes.
It creates a sort of a vortex.
And they get sucked in.
Everybody gets sucked in.
Savage.
And then my last move is the Nor Roar.
The Nor Roar.
Yeah. Being the brand of gravy.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like where I stand on the side of the gravy vessel and do the slap, the typical slam, and the person who I'm about to slam goes, "No!"
I was just about to say, if I may add to that, they should be Australian.
Nor!
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Sorry, my guy Drippin' Dave, just to say, he also does the flip dip.
The flip dip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just means he flips and then he dips.
To get away. Oh, yeah, cool, I guess.
And he also has the thump dunk.
Oh, very good.
The thump dunk.
Yeah, don't know what that one
is. We haven't figured out what that is, but we got the name.
Yet, working
we've got
title.
Dunk in there. Yeah.
I've got the rooster for rooster's potatoes.
Very good.
Special move, the nearly mashed potato, and it's where he just throws lumps at you.
Gotcha.
Do you mean like little lumps of potatoes?
Oh, no, little small lumps.
And I've got the Bisto Bro, right? And his special move is the Bisto Bomb. The wrestler has jumped off a diving board into the gravy to splash you.
Wow.
You're finished.
Right, book those flights.
You're well done, if you will.
Very good.
We're going to the gig.
These are so much better than
the Raven Gravy. Shut up.
Tom Grennan and All These Nights now for you on Spin.
We've been going.
Tom Grennan and All These Nights on Spin. I think it's fair to say we've said it multiple times that we're obsessed that he now sings the Gillette, the new ad for Gillette.
Yeah. Oh, such a banger.
It's so good.
Great tune if you haven't heard it.
Father to son, doing what you've always done.
Here we go. How good is
it? It's his best song.
It's so good.
It's his best song.
But there's now also a German version, not sung by Tom Grennan, of the same song, but it's in German. Have a listen.
From Vater zum Sohn.
Class.
So war es immer schon. Gillette.
Gillette.
Für das beste Mann.
OMG.
I would still listen to that.
I want one in every language.
Yeah.
We're on it.
We're
let's go.
Dave and Aisling in the morning. This is Spin's Fully Charged.
Morning! That's Tuesday.
That's so stupid.
Tuesday in the sound.
That was amazing. I don't think I've ever recognised that before.
Why do we have that there?
I have no idea.
I love it. I actually love it. Guys, I need loads of praise here now, please.
Oh,
I need loads of praise. Get your hands ready to pat me on the back.
Oh, yeah?
I finished the longest book.
Oh, you did it.
At the weekend.
Well done.
The longest book. This book that I finished at the weekend was 936 pages long.
Wow. Oh,
God.
900 pages.
That's crazy. Was it good?
OMG. It was good. It was actually very good. But I don't think anything needs to be that long.
No.
At all, no matter how good.
Do you ever find, though, when you're coming to the end of a book, does anyone ever like skip over a little paragraph?
No.
No, Emma.
Oh, I can't do it.
I'd be like, does that look interesting there? Nope, move on.
However,
move on.
I will tell you this. I do do this.
I'm like, oh, yeah, go on.
I read the paragraph and I'm like, none of that went in.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go, oh, well. It obviously wasn't that interesting.
Although I'll reread the whole thing.
Really?
And sometimes, like, if I'm falling asleep, I'll read, like, whole pages that nothing goes
in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'll have to go back, like, 4 pages when I start. So I probably read about 1,200 pages.
Out of this 900. So I got this book the other day in the library, and I didn't know how long it was going to be or anything like that. It's called The Web of Lies by Aoife Gallagher, right? And it's a really, really interesting book.
Yes.
But I was only reading it on my iPad, so I didn't have any, like, idea of how big it was.
Oh yeah.
So when I got the bus from the library and it arrived, and I was like, oh my god, this is massive. The words are huge. Come on.
Nice,
you'll get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
You listening and you guys as well, I want to update you on my island weekend on Whiddy Island off the coast of West Cork, okay? Mm. But in a couple of minutes, just in the back of your minds, just have a think, right? How many bags / luggage between the group of us went to Whiddy from Bantry? Just keep that in your mind, okay? And bear in mind, like, big gang girls, 12 people, including 2 kids, 1 very young kid.
Okay.
Okay, just have a think. Right. Anyway, let me tell you about the weekend. Lads, it was absolutely unbelievable. This is our 3rd island off the coast of Ireland that we've... Well, typically that's what an island is, isn't it?
Well, not always Ireland.
Anyway,
this is your 3rd island
that you've done with this
Irish
group.
Irish island with this group, yeah.
And is the first one Ireland?
No, the first one was Shirkin Island.
I don't remember you going to Shirkin Island.
Yeah, I don't think I was working with you then.
You've done Ireland as well.
Well, true, that's true too. As I mentioned earlier on, the same guy like this and his wife run everything more or less on the island, it seems, between the old converted schoolhouse we stayed in, which was pretty damn cool. The weather wasn't as bad as I anticipated it to be. The sun did come out on Saturday. We did a lot of trespassing on the island. We went into places we shouldn't have been.
I love doing that. Like, it's always like, if you're with your parents, it's like, it's fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
If mom and dad said it's okay, then it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we would openly cross over a gate into this really overgrown old historical building that should probably be a tourist attraction that says danger, do not enter. And we were like, come on, we'd be dragging the baby over with us. It was all that kind of stuff.
That sounds great.
You'd be walking down the road and there's all the sheep coming at you. There, all the girls are running away from the sheep because they're actually rams. The Sunday had absolutely lashed all day. The match was absolutely top tier, unbelievable
banter.
At
least you had that to watch.
Yeah, without that, I think we would have been a little bit more of a struggle. On Saturday night, we actually went to Bantry, which is good crack. Bantry's a great town.
Is that not in Cork?
Yeah, that's where
you get the boat across.
You got you came back to Ireland
just for the spin, just to change it up a little bit.
That's weird.
The island, then, did you?
Ackawaley, me alone.
That's weird.
What do you mean? That's
like
weird.
Going on holidays and then going, oh, I forgot something, and going back to Ireland.
It's only
from
like a 15-minute spin,
right?
Okay, but bear in mind, yesterday when we left the we were meant to leave. Same guy, Tim, came up to give us a lift down with all our bags to the pier, and we were due to get on the ferry at 11 for that sailing. We were all standing on the pier at like 20 past being like, where is he? And is that him over there? And then someone coughed. There was obviously other people waiting on the pier and they knew that we had so much stuff that he wouldn't fit everyone. So he brought them over and then like came back for us.
Oh, no way.
It was like a 40-minute round trip for him to get back. And I actually realised then it was the shame hit me of the amount of stuff that we had.
Oh, really?
So I'm talking bags, groceries, baby stuff.
Folkies.
Yeah, hit me. What are we talking?
So there's 12 of you. Some of them are babies. Oh, genie.
I'd say, is it pieces of luggage or just things?
Pieces of luggage and things.
Okay, I'm going to go 26.
Say 21.
Okay, 26. I haven't actually done the total. 9 shopping bags came to the island and came off because we didn't eat half the stuff we bought because everyone did a big grocery.
Okay.
Of course. And that's all divvied up and sent home.
Did you do that in Bantry?
We did actually, yeah.
Nice.
8 suitcases. Large suitcases.
Large.
4 mini suitcases. A travel cot and a buggy. We were a nightmare. So 9 and 8 as well. Help me. 9, 8, 4. Yes, 17. Dave, we're very close.
Oh, I was close with that
very
one.
Very close.
That's ridiculous.
Doesn't it make you feel so ashamed of yourself? And I always think, are you like this as well, Ash? No, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not necessarily a girl's thing. But like when you don't know what you're wearing, you just bring everything.
Sometimes, yeah. If I'm like not going, if I have the space or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I'll bring 7 outfits.
Yeah, but I don't
so
even
I'm going
have
into the one bag.
I don't even have a big suitcase.
You don't own one?
No, I don't own one. I only own the mini one that can get on a Ryanair flight. It's all I own.
So you'll only ever go to Europe?
Exactly.
For like less than a week?
Exactly.
Why would you go anywhere else?
I want to talk about Little Mix because it seems that the Little Mix girls have some questions that need answering, right? Well, I have some questions that need answering from the Little Mix girls,
on behalf
actually.
Of the girls.
Yes, exactly. They've been faking something and it's only starting to come out now, right? A producer for Little Mix has said that Jesse Nelson's vocals were sung by an impersonator for one of their last songs.
Could not.
As a full band, right?
What?
So as the quartet, with their last song, Jesse kind of didn't show up.
Okay. Well, there was big drama, wasn't there?
There was.
Shoot it with her.
If you aren't, that's the crack. If you aren't aware, Little Mix originally consisted of four members, Jade, Jesse, Perry and Leanne. Jesse left the band in 2020, stating that the band had taken a toll on her mental health. The rest of them continued the band for 2 years before they all went their separate ways. Well, now, that producer who did their last song has shed some light on the behind the scenes right before Jesse left, okay? So on Saturday just gone, a producer named Trey Jean-Marie took to Instagram stories to share his memories of the group's 2020 single, No Time for Tears. If you don't know what that sounds like, I'll get you a clip now in a second.
We got it, yeah.
It's called No Time for Tears, which was their final single as a group before they did it with Nathan Daw. And it sounds like this. No time for tears.
It's so good.
So you'll notice that in that clip, right, you'll hear backing vocals like, no time for tears, and then there'll be a girl going, no time for tears.
Yeah.
That's Jesse, apparently. Okay. Right, okay. He said, this producer who produced the song said, fun fact, all of Jesse's BVs, or backing vocals, and even one of the lead vocals on No Time for Tears are somebody else impersonating her because she was quite literally over it.
Wow.
So she was done. Mm-hmm. She was finished. So here are some clips that I want to play you from the song, right? I've watched the music video, by the way. The girls are not in it at all. Which
really?
I think is quite unusual for a Little Mix music video.
Yeah, so is it one of those like where it's like an actor?
Yeah, but like they're all, the actors are like singing the song.
Oh,
like,
that's really
it's
weird.
It's so weird. Yeah, like, it's like, how did we not see this coming?
Sorry, am I the only one who doesn't remember that song?
I didn't really massively remember it, but
huge. Okay, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So here is a clip of Jesse's long part, right? Have a listen.
Okay. You were gonna see me down. I ain't repeating you, so I'm deleting you from my phone now. Got it. Sounds like her.
It does
sound like her, right? So, but that's the thing. It might be her, okay? And then there's a shorter part, and it sounds like this. I don't need you, sorry. This ain't a pity party. That sounds like too much like Jesse, even more than Jesse sounds to me. Do you know what I mean? That's like someone really trying to be Jesse.
Trying to be Jesse.
It's like if a comedian was taking like the mic out of someone.
Yes.
You know, kind of a thing.
From what accent? From what I can find in that song, those are the only two Jesse parts.
Right.
The rest are sung like are her singing backing vocals where it's like no time for tears and she'll go no time for tears. Just in the background. You can't really hear it that much. Do you know what I mean?
Are you the impersonator? Because that was so
So that is the only... They're the only two real kind of clips that you hear of Jesse.
Right.
And I'm convinced it's the second one that's the impersonator. But we'll never know. This is the thing.
Well, like, don't we have Jade on the show soon?
This is the thing. We have Jade on the show like in a couple of days and I'm like, I'm not asking her.
I'll ask her.
Are you going to ask her?
I'll ask her.
I'd be so worried.
What would you be worried about?
I don't know. I'd be freaking out that they'd be like, how dare you ask me a question about Little Mix? I am my own artist.
You ask her and then I'll go, why are you asking her that?
Why are you asking her that? She doesn't.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
Yeah. You'll get this thing that keeps me coming back. Emma, Dave and Aisling. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here. Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged. Morning. We're doing a bit of investigative journalism here in the show. This isn't our usual type of thing.
No.
So buckle up. But it is about 99s.
Yeah.
So
please. Again, needs must.
Exactly. That kind of makes it a bit more us. I love 99s. I speak about them a lot in the show. I get them kind of pretty much weekly in the summer. But I'll start early, like as soon as the whir of the first machine is switched on.
Yeah,
I'll scope it out. I'm like a dog with a high frequency.
I remember on this show before you've tried to actually get your own 99 machine.
I did. I looked them up on adverts. They were
about $4,000.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So that kind of put a pin in that. But I do love a 99, and I feel like every time you have this conversation with people about 99s, everybody has a different theory about why it is called a 99.
I must give a shout out to Erlingford.
Erlingford, where is that?
county
Tipperary
tip. And that's where I stopped yesterday on the way back from Cork for a 99.
Oh, nice.
It was a good one. And this conversation happened again yesterday.
It did. Everyone's about theories. The origin of a 99. Okay, yeah. So we asked you to let us know why you think it's called a 99, first of all.
This is from Anthony.
History of the 99 ice cream. And apparently, according to our family history, it was created by my great-uncle or great-great-uncle, not sure which, Stefano Arcari in Portobello Street. And how the name came about was the number of the shop.
Wow!
I've heard that it was the number of the shop.
This is very interesting.
That's
okay.
Cool. Also, Anthony, if someone in my family was responsible for the creation of the 99, I think I know if it was my grand-uncle or my grand-granduncle. Figure that out, man, and
put that on your Tinder bio.
Yeah, like seriously.
Well, I'll tell you what, Anthony, my research took me to your exact story, but it was Portobello High Street in Scotland.
Ah.
But the name is the same, Stefano Ancari or something. And yeah, in 1922, he was a guy who opened a shop on 99 Portobello High Street. And some theories say that he was the first person to break a flake in half, a normal sized flake, stick it in an ice cream, and it kind of became known as the 99 because that was number 99 of the street.
That's
oh my
really
God.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you guys reckon?
Oh, sure, the usual.
Sorry, is that not it? Is that not the story?
The whole point of this is there's tons of theories out there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Okay, because
it's actually very hard to know which one is true.
I thought it was that was how much it cost back in the day.
Yeah,
like when it started. We thought it was 99 pence or 99p or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that's not true because way back in the day, it was probably about 10 pence or even
really?
Less.
Really?
You know, yeah, so I don't think that was ever it, Emma.
I was exactly the
you
same
thought
same?
Of
the price, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the most common ones. One my friend's dad said was traditionally there used to be 99 flakes in a box of flakes when
but
they first arrived.
But no, sir, like that doesn't make any sense.
Come later
the flake
the
comes later than the 99. Like this is
the,
like Cadbury
yeah,
have an absolute.
Can we just say no? That one. Let's get that
yeah. Okay, yeah. We're going buzzers.
Like Cadbury have their own. Like Cadbury have done an amazing job to be the bar associated with 99.
Yeah.
But you know if they're there pushing their story of oh that was because we've 99 flakes. I'm sorry, but I will put a Mars bar in it before I put a flake in it again.
No, I would argue a 99 is only a 99 when it has a flake.
Yes.
It's a whipped ice cream when it doesn't.
No.
It is only
99.
A 99. No, a 99 has to have a flake.
Wouldn't agree.
It does.
No, and that is correct. The true definition of that ice cream is called a 99 flake. If you don't have the flake, it's just a whipped ice cream.
But if it's called a 99 flake, then that gives it the room to be called a 99 without a flake.
No, it's called a 99 flake and or a 99.
No, I don't. It's just how you're married, lads.
That is the rule.
No what happens.
Oh, 7711103. It has to be a 99, isn't it? Flaking again.
Okay, so there's a few more theories, right? Another theory is that the flake is 99 millimetres long. I don't think that's true. Another person suggests that it's called a 99 because of the way the ice cream is swirled when it goes in. It's kind of like the shape
oh,
of nines.
Okay, no, it's not, but
it's
okay.
Not,
yeah. Another one is because the Roman numerals for the number 99 would be IC, which is like ice
no!
cream.
No! That's so good!
Stupid.
That's so stupid.
Sorry,
I love it.
What kind of mad Reddit threads were you down on
yeah.
this
yeah,
journey?
Yeah.
People are desperate to find the truth here, but there is one story that Cadbury are peddling, right? And this comes from like some old newspaper back in the day that Cadbury published or something. And they say that it dates back to the 1920s, an Italian soft serve ice cream shop in Durham in the UK, right? And they put a flake in it to boost sales. Back in the day, the Italian monarchy had a kind of a band of soldiers that were like kind of directly linked to the king, and there was 99 soldiers in the king's kind of guard.
Mm.
So in Italy, a lot of things, if something is really, really like elite or really special, it would be called the 99 because of the 99 soldiers. So there's one theory for it that way. And then another theory is also related to Italy and wars. Apparently, it's also named after the last soldiers to be conscripted for Italy in the First World War who were born in 1899, they had a feather coming out of their hats.
No.
That kind of looked like
that's
a flake.
Cool.
That's mad.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
You've yeah. had quite the journey on this, Ash.
I've been around the block.
Yeah.
But there if you have any more theories to add to the mix, I would love to hear them.
Yeah,
087 711 1038. Get your voice notes over.
Lads, I don't know. Maybe investigative journalism is the way to go. Dave was getting proper.
I'm into this.
Angry
I'm
there.
I'm really into
at one
this.
Point. No way.
It is still a 99 without a flake.
Yep. Disagree.
100% disagree. It is. Oh, can I have a whipped ice cream, please? Sorry.
Yeah, no. You leave my 99. Shop. Just don't put a flake in it. Thanks.
You're on spin. Ash, when you and Alex, your boyfriend, recently went to the Gaeltacht thing in Donegal, how long was the road trip?
Oof, it was at least 4 hours, I think.
4 hours, yeah. Long, long drive.
Oh, so long.
My God, by yesterday, it was just like, get me home.
Where you were going from Cork to Dublin?
Well, from
West Cork.
I had another hour and a half outside Cork City to that too.
Right, okay.
Or maybe not an hour and a half, but an hour.
But yeah, you were West Cork.
Yeah, yeah, it's so far away.
Coming from like Alahees or something, is it?
That direction, yeah.
That direction.
Yeah, Castletown Bear-esque area. Anyway, on the way back in the car, I had so much appreciation for my best friend because she was on the tunes. And you know, when you're just like, she kept saying, any requests for a while. And I just, no,
I can't think of a single song.
No, I'm happy. Just do whatever you want to do. And my God, does she deliver. We started with The Lion King and I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Oh, nice,
great choice. That would set me up for the road
trip. That's a great one.
She went straight into Under the Sea, The Little Mermaid.
It would have lost me there.
Brilliant.
Oh, Under the Sea is a great show.
I've never seen that movie, but yeah.
Under the Sea.
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah.
Under the Sea.
Darling, it's better. Down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
The only bit I know is Under the Sea.
Then she'd like throw on a bit of Miles Smith, you know, Stargazing, big tune at the moment.
Wow.
Great. Then she'd do like a run through a few Westlife bangers, like Swear It Again, Seasons in the Sun, and even she's got a huge amount of love for their really recent song in the last few years, Hello My Love.
Hello My Love. That's oh my a God. Banger.
Yeah, she's That's, absolutely
no.
That is a tune.
No, no.
Let's give it one more tune this Friday. Right at 10.
And then, this just took the biscuit. I lost my mind. Oh.
Oh, tune! Tune!
Damn you, computer. This.
Sorry, is that Lizzie McGuire featuring Paolo?
Yes.
Featuring Paolo himself.
Featuring Paolo from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
God, unbelievable.
And Isabella.
And Isabella.
Oh, what a movie. Like.
What a fantastic movie. It was class. It was so good. And then, obviously, we went straight back to radio.
Yeah, of course.
That's what you do. So we went straight back to radio after
And
that.
Was this on the playlist? Exactly.
It's got
on ours, though.
On spin.
Here we go. Wake up in my bed. I just want to have a good day. This is Spins Fully Charged with Emma, Dave and Aisling
in the morning.
What's going on?
Hey there.
I had this thought while driving into work this morning, and it was kind of a bad thought, but I was like, I can't wait until my car breaks. I'm just so excited for my car to break.
I used to be like that when I had my old phone. I was like, yeah. Just throw it at the wall. I hate this phone. I was like, I used to leave it like on the table, real far away from me in a restaurant. Just take it.
Honestly, I'm thinking of leaving my keys on a bench. I'm like, with a map to my car.
David.
Just so I could get a new one. I'm sick of it.
Would you not just sell it?
I know, but there's nothing wrong with it.
I know, you can't really justify
can't justify it. I feel like the only time I'm going to get a new car is when something bad happens.
Lads, when I say... a light comes on in my car, like my stomach nearly falls out my arse.
Yeah, you're the opposite.
I'm so terrified. I'm stuck to that bloody loan for the next 3 years. It better stick around.
See, mine's been paid off for ages and I'm just like, what people think. I'm a bad driver or I'm a reckless driver. I'm not. I'm trying to break the car. I will be very safe when I get the new one.
Watch out, Emma's car is going to get robbed tomorrow.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Tinder's done something with AI to try and make life easier for their users on Tinder.
I saw something about this, but I was thinking, how does Tinder and AI work together?
Yeah, I think there's some totally practical ways this could help, but I'll get to that. But what they're doing for now is they're going to be... This is if you want to allow AI into your camera roll, which you might not want to do from privacy reasons. But they, hypothetically, with this new feature, if you allow it to happen, would dive into your camera roll and pick photos that they think would suit you best on your profile.
It's going to be pictures of my best mate who's much better looking than me.
Yeah, it's mad. It's set to roll out across the UK sometime this summer, so soon enough. And I suppose from having being on dating apps, like sometimes the photos are really bad quality, or you're like, why did I scan all the way to the bottom there? There's just 5 group pictures. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of a thing? So this is what the AI tool will do when it gets, if it gets access to your photos.
That's quite clever.
It'll look for photos with decent lighting.
Mm.
Guess Who is what they're saying is one of the features you can use, i.e. your profile is kind of meant to advertise you. Essentially what I was saying, rather than like one group picture, grand when it's clear who you are, but or two maybe, whatever.
But or also not the first photo either.
Like, no, that's not the first photo.
Frustrating. It'll also do this thing where to like stop catfishing and stuff, if you want to allow to do this, of course. I don't want to scare off Tinder users. I don't think it's like something that you have to do or anything, but if you want to, it'll only pick photos from say the last couple of years, do you know, rather
right,
than like I looked a bit better maybe 5 years ago or whatever the case may be. For some people, maybe they're feeling great now or whatever. And
yeah, I have my photos from when I'm 12, just because that was it was when I was at my skinniest.
That was my peak.
Yeah, right. But I do think, yeah, grand, it's just photos, but maybe AI could help out single people going through this slog of these dating apps with more practical ways. For example, the early stages of a chat are always shite anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Hi, how are you? Just like I get AI to do all that for you. And then you can just check back in and go, oh, this is actually going somewhere, this conversation. I'll join now with me.
But the two AIs seem to be hitting it off.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, that doesn't really make sense. Maybe if it's vice versa. But, you know, when there's.
But if the AI was like, this is Hannah, she works in, HR and she.
Like, suggest a prompt.
Yeah.
You should ask her about her cat.
She said about that she's free this weekend if you wanted to ask her out. Like, yeah, just get all that done for me. Be my personal assistant on Tinder, kind of. As soon as there's a red flag, unmatch them. So, for example, as soon as you see a winky face, I'd be like, get that, just do all that for me.
Oh, like AI could be like, have a little emoji come up, red flag.
Yeah.
We've spotted something here you don't like, or like an aubergine or something that just is a bit dodgy. Just like, just get rid of it. Just weed them all out.
What's dodgy about an aubergine? A vegetable. It's very healthy.
No old accounts. So, for example, if you're someone who is kind of sick of the, you know, maybe you were single at one point and then you re-downloaded an app later, but you've already, in the past, when you re-downloaded, said no to certain people.
Oh, yeah.
That the AI could, like, remember that's your account.
Oh, no, I don't need that happening. I don't need that happening.
What do you mean?
Because when you, when I reset my Tinder or my Hinge, these people have to say no to me again. Yeah. Because maybe they've changed their mind. Maybe they think I'm better looking now.
Really? And,
well, you want them to have to consider you again.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right, okay. Well, I think it's really practical, no? Just be like, or like from your point of view, if you're an ex knowing a girl, then it's just you're not going to pop up and see the same
place
again.
Dave can't afford to be taken off that many girls' feeds.
I swear he was bad.
I don't say no.
Right. Spins fully charged.
Recharged.
I have a great idea for you to do this evening if you have no plans. Three words, bad movie night.
Oh, I like this.
We had a bad movie night on Saturday and we watched one of the worst rated films of all time. Okay, this movie is called The Room. Don't know if you've ever heard of it. I had never heard of it, right? It's an independently made film from 2003. You may know this clip.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, you know I do know that clip. Yeah, that's a famous clip, yeah.
So this film is kind of like a cult classic. They actually made a film about the making of this film in 2013, and it's called The Disaster Artist, and it stars James Franco.
So it's supposed to be like the worst movie ever or something, right?
Yeah, so basically this guy, nobody really knows who or what he's about. This guy called Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
He wrote, directed, and starred in the film. In the film, he's got like long jet black hair. He speaks with the craziest accent ever, such as the, oh, hi, Mark. And you'll hear more of his weird, weird accent soon. You can watch The Room on YouTube, and I strongly encourage you to. Now, the version I found had Italian subtitles, but that was fine.
Okay.
We just got past that. And they kind of have like cult screenings of this film in America.
Yeah.
People bring like props and stuff. And
right.
People dress up as different characters.
That's cool.
It's really so funny. Like, I wasn't wild about the idea of having a bad movie night, but by the time I'd gotten through the first scene, I was like, I am in. I want to watch this twice, three times over.
I've done a bad movie night once and it was to Sharknado.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
good. I heard
good.
That's terrible.
So good.
What can I ask? What makes the movie so bad?
Absolutely everything.
Okay.
Acting.
The acting is atrocious. The dialogue, the storyline.
You can see cameras sometimes.
Right.
There's like, The conversations just change out of nowhere. Crazy stuff happens that's like completely separate to the plot.
Is it like a satirical piece?
No.
Okay. No,
and that's what makes it so bad, but so good.
So I presume The Room was a thing that this guy made. That's what it was called. But
The Disaster Artist
is a movie about the making of The Room.
Yeah, because your man thinks it's really good.
he's
so
brilliant.
Serious about
that's
it.
That's amazing.
Wow. But he's absolutely awful. He's the worst person in it. Like, he's so bad, okay?
This is Tommy Vice.
Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in the film, Tommy Wiseau is this guy called Johnny. He's engaged to this girl called Lisa. Lisa decides about 5 minutes in, I'm bored of Johnny. I don't really want to get married to Johnny anymore. Okay. So she starts getting with Johnny's best friend. And that's the whole plot of the film. It just goes round and round in circles.
Class.
I wasn't really on board, as I said, until I heard the first scene and I said, I'm in.
Hi, babe. I have something for you.
What is it?
Just a little something. Anything for my princess.
Oh, wow.
It's so bad.
I'm hooked.
Oh, no. You will absolutely love it, Dave. It's so strange. The next scene that I'll play is my favourite in the whole film, right? Johnny goes in to buy some flowers for Lisa. The scene is 16 seconds long. It's the quickest transaction that's ever happened in a florist, ever. And if you listen to the dialogue, it's so weird. It's like they're answering each other from two questions ago.
Okay.
Have a listen.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yeah, can I have a dozen red roses, please?
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you. Here you go.
That's me. How much is it?
It'll be $18.
Here you go. Keep the change. Hi, doggy.
You're my favorite customer.
Thanks a lot. Oh. Bye.
Oh. It's game.
This is amazing.
On the counter of the shop, there's a dog sitting there, and just at the end, he like rubs the dog in the head and goes, oh, hi, dog.
Oh, hi, dog. Oh, hi, Mark.
One of the really funny things that happens in this movie that you realise never happens in movies is they always say, bye. Whenever they leave, he says it there. And you realise, like, that at the end of scenes, when just people leave, they just go.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same when they're on the phone. They never say, right, go on, see you later. No. They just hang up. Yeah.
Like, there was like a bit of a raunchy scene or whatever. And then he like leaves at the end of it. And then he's like, bye. So funny, right? And the last clip I'm going to play you just shows how quickly a conversation can change in this film, okay? In this scene, Johnny and his friend Mark are chit-chatting about work in a cafe.
How was work today? Oh, pretty good. We got a new client at the bank. We make a lot of money.
What client?
I cannot tell you. It's confidential.
Oh, come on. Why not?
No, I can't. Anyway, how is your sex life?
No way.
It's the best movie ever.
Me trying to be professional.
Look it up on YouTube, The Room. You'll have a laugh.
I can't wait. How long is it?
It's like an hour and a half. It's too short.
Really?
It's too short. I swear, I didn't want it to end.
It needs a sequel. I like this.
Was the ending even worth sticking around for?
Oh, all of it.
The whole thing is.
The whole thing.
Because it's so off.
It's a journey.
Okay, bring it on. Feck it, I'll give it a lash.
This week on the show, we got holiday vouchers up for grabs with thanks to Club Orange. Real fruit, real club.
Yes, club is for those who want to keep it real. Real fruit taste and authentic Irish roots, and it's the soft drink that champions realness and authenticity.
You're keeping it real, Ash?
I'm keeping it real.
You're keeping it real, Ash?
I think I'm always keeping it kind of real, yeah. Do my best. We'd love to sort you with the €200 holiday voucher.
I'm also keeping it real.
Oh, sorry, we never asked you.
Sorry, but we don't even have to ask you.
That's so true.
We know your entire stream of consciousness. He's the king of real.
Make sure you keep it real.
And on this morning, to give, we told you three statements. And you need to figure out who has been real. There was two lies in there. Was it myself, Emma, Dave, or Aisling? Shauna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Shauna.
Where are you off to?
I was just on a walk with my mom, and I'm going home to work because I work from home.
Oh, stunning. What a day.
I am jealous, I have to say, of people who start work at a normal time.
I'm jealous
to go for a walk before work.
People get to go for a walk before work. That's very Australian of you, Shauna.
It is.
Yeah. It is.
Where'd you go walking?
Do you know the Hill of Tara?
Yes.
Oh, stunning.
My God, that's quite the day out.
You just got to the Hill of Tara.
So it was nice. I know.
Where is
that?
Yeah,
and I got a lovely hot chocolate for the drive home.
Stunning. That's in Meath.
Oh, is it in Tara?
Yeah. Ireland's ancient east.
Class.
What? That's like a classic winning streak destination.
Oh, yeah.
God, you just had a really nice morning.
We're so jealous, as you can hear. Shauna, we'd love to sort you with the €200 holiday voucher, all but thanks to Club Orange. So your job now is to figure out which statement you've heard is real. I told you that when I was 14, I dyed my hair green.
I said I'm the lowest ranked pinball player in Ireland.
And I said that I'm allergic to toothpaste. What do you think, Shauna?
I think that Dave is the lowest pinball player or the lowest ranked pinball player in Ireland.
Why do you think that, Shauna?
I think Emma's too cool to have dyed her hair green. Mm-hmm. And Aisling, a toothpaste. That one could be real too.
Right.
Okay, she's never smelled
breath
before.
I do know some people are allergic to like mint.
Ooh, oh, okay, interesting.
All right, you've gone for Dave.
You're dead right. Congratulations. 200 euro holiday voucher is all yours with thanks to Club.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
What a morning welcome, for you, darling. Shauna.
Yeah.
Have a great day. It's been a really good morning.
It has. Have a great day. Good luck.
Bye. Thanks a mil. Bye. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. We'll give you another chance to win with Club Orange tomorrow morning after 7:30.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people thought you were telling the truth, Emma, with the dyeing the hair green. Yeah.
Damn, I was so convinced that obviously I've got a cool aura because Shauna said just there, oh, you'd be too cool to dye your hair green. But actually, people don't think that at all of me then.
I also think people who dye their hair green are pretty cool.
Actually, I do. Hello, yeah. Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not cool enough to dye my hair green.
Emo vibes. You were an emo before.
I know, but I just put in the clip in hair extensions. I didn't commit to the actual dye.
If I ever dyed my hair green, it would have been for St. Patrick's Day. And that would be the most uncool reason ever.
And you definitely did, didn't you?
You're so cool. Ashing there with the hair spray, making it green.
On her way into town with her bunting. as we said, another chance to win that 200 euro holiday voucher tomorrow after 7:30. Sabrina Carpenter's Please, Please, Please. She's on all the bus stops now. This morning I saw her.
Where?
She's on a bus stop in Rathmines.
Cool, I'm on the way.
For the Three Arena gig?
Yeah.
No, don't stop telling people about it. I want to get tickets. Not you, I mean the buses.
Sorry.
Leave it out. I'm delighted today, I have to say.
Go on.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the last couple of weeks I've been trialling new breakfasts.
You have. No longer, you have the Bush Tucker...
nuts.
Yeah, bucket thing that you bring around.
Yeah, I have like kind of a metal lunchbox with granola some weeks. I used to have overnight oats for a good while.
I'm glad they're gone. You were surely sick of that.
Oh, I was sick of them.
Spoon and an apple for a while.
Spoon and an apple. Yeah, just mix it up. But 3 weeks ago, I made banana bread. And that was really good. Yeah. That was a winner, but high in cals. So last week I tried new blueberry breakfast muffins. Oh, yeah, I did a live taste on the show and they tasted rank.
Yeah.
I actually ate one and thought it was all right.
Yeah, but so savoury, not sweet at all. Yesterday I dove in and I made a Jamie Oliver recipe, which are always the boldest of the recipes, of flapjacks.
Okay.
It's dessert. Lads, it's dessert.
My mom used to make unbelievable flapjacks when we were growing up. Maple syrup and all in them. Kind of
it's like pure sugar.
Delicious.
It's like the dream. Sugar. That's my breakfast. We got an interesting Be Real update during the weekend. One that I'm like kind of in shock by. So I took my Be Real on time.
Good for you.
Yesterday. And because of that, I now get 5 more Be Reals.
5? Hang on.
And if I took it late, I get 2 more Be Reals.
Oh my God, I have the same.
Now, this is an interesting update.
What it is, darling,
take one right now.
Is showing that absolutely no one's using it and they want more.
You can't sit, look at my Be Real. It's filled with people using it. There's so many people still using it. So I don't understand why they've gone for 5, because I think 5 is too much and kind of makes me go, oh, I don't need to use it that much.
Yeah, the thing is, I go on it once a day, which is when the notification goes off. I don't think I'll be dipping back
in. You don't want to commit to any more than that. That's a big scrolling.
Not 5 times, anyway.
No.
Anyway, we will see what happens. I don't think Be Real is going to be around for very long.
It will be. I will keep it around.
Michaela is on the way. Catch you in the morning.
Bye. Get ready for the sound. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Spins Fully Charged. Recharged. Love this? Catch Fully Charged weekdays on Spin 103.8 with Emma, Dave and Aisling.